Kia ora and welcome to Meet the Newbies. After the 2017 general election happened, a lot of new MPs entered Parliament for the first time. However, many of these MPs may not be well known outside of their electorates. To try and change this, I decided to do a podcast meeting with one of the new MPs each time. This gives us the chance to get to know our new lawmakers while giving them the chance to show who they are to the public. Today, we are talking to Paul Eagle, the new Labour MP for Rongotai and the previous Deputy Mayor of Wellington. Let's find out who he is. How are you doing today, Paul?
Very well, Morena. Good morning.
So, how would you describe yourself in a sentence?
Energetic, I'm visible, I'm accessible, and I'm excited to be the new MP for Rongotai.
What is your background?
My background in terms of a career has been in local government predominantly, and within that sector I've worked in mainly the community and economic development areas. I have to say that I've also worked for and with several government agencies. The last one prior to getting on the Wellington City Council was the New Zealand Police. Yeah, I feel from a whānau family perspective too. Father was a Methodist minister. He just retired after 49 years. My mother worked in the health sector, did a lot of volunteering. And I guess between the two of them, their values around serving and caring for people influenced me. And that's really shaped me in the role that I have today.
So who would you say is your greatest hero?
There are several, but in terms of where I got to today, I'd have to say it was my father, and that's the Reverend Brian Eagle, because I think his shaping of a pathway for me. He had a very liberal but progressive outlook in life, and I'm pleased that he didn't specify anything for me. He more said these are the values that we live by, or I encourage you to seek out further. And so he would be, he'd have to be my political hero. My other hero from a cartoon perspective would be the Incredible Hulk. Not because he's green, but I like the way that when he saw that things were unfair, although he got a little bit angry and got things sorted, he was able to put things right. Now, certainly I hope not to be like that in the House, where if I get angry, I turn green and wear purple shorts and start throwing people across the chamber. Far from it. But look, he was certainly one of the characters that I liked as a young person.
When did you realise you wanted to get into politics?
Politics has always been part of my life. Dad's, being brought up in the Methodist Church. Methodism and the Labour Party were synonymous in terms of my upbringing. And having political figures as part of my life, but also being part of a policy making, or to put it more accurately, being able to discuss policies and things that were happening in the life of New Zealand at an early age really shaped me, and my pathway via local government was really a signal that I was always keen to get here. But I've learnt that in politics it's a lot about luck and timing, and both of those have played a big role in my presence here today.
Let's say Jacinda Ardern calls you up and says, I want to give you one ministry. What ministry would you choose?
It may not be a ministry, but I'd certainly welcome a call from the boss to take up local government. I mean, it is the area that I know best. It does need reform. That's not encouraging more councils to amalgamate, far from it. What we do need to do is get the Local Government Act reflecting the need for local government to make local decisions. And I think with my experience both as an officer but also as an elected member and deputy mayor of the capital, I certainly have some strong views around how a Local Government Act could be better executed. And so even the delivery of services, and I should point out that the current way that councils share services through council-controlled organisations, which is a sort of light privatisation of the way services are delivered, I don't think that's the way forward. And I think that's stopping, actually, a lot of councils amalgamating the service delivery. Look, that's just a small taste of what things may look like if I got the call. But I can realistically say that the next 3 years for me will be about being the best backbencher that I can be.
So what changes to New Zealand law would you hope to make during this term of Parliament, aside from the local governments?
One of the things that I'm most passionate about is the Adoption Act from 1955. This is an act that brought New Zealand close range adoptions where children of all ethnicities were assimilated. We often look at Australia and the UK and the Catholic Church and the way that they used to run facilities in that part of the world and say, look at those countries, look at how bad that used to be. Well, that happened in New Zealand too. And the practice is certainly different now, but I can say this, I would like to take it to the next stage where Fran Wilde, and I know Jacinda herself, did some work on it, but it's now timely to make some major changes to that piece of legislation. Why? Because we have 290,000 children living in poverty, of which 90,000 of them are in severe hardship. That's unacceptable. And what I'd like to do is get my teeth into that and say, look, we need children to be living in the best home possible and giving them the best start in life. My wife Miriam and I adopted a baby. We're one of a few lucky people right across this country to do that. Miriam couldn't have children. And so we now are the lucky parents to a 2.5-year-old, Tamarangi. And look, we love him like he is our own. In fact, he is ours. But we realise that the open adoption process means we deal with his birth family, and that is entirely appropriate. So we have some experience there, and that is something I'd like to get right.
Ideal world scenario, encompassing everything you want to happen. What's the best case scenario for New Zealand? What is the New Zealand you want to leave Parliament?
For me, this is about making sure that every Kiwi gets the same opportunities that I had. And that's not being selfish. It's much more saying that, you know, putting a roof over someone's head. You know, it's completely unacceptable now that we have the level of homelessness that we have, that young people can't rent a warm, dry home that's affordable. When moving to your next stage in life, you can't even buy an affordable home. And living in Rongotai electorate in the old days, under First Past the Post, both the Miramar and Island Bay seats would boast the suburbs that you could buy your first home in. I live in Island Bay. If you don't have $1 million, you're not going to get a house. So housing is really important. I also want to have to make sure people can swim in rivers, and that's not a trendy thing to say, but I remember a family trip to the Coromandel Peninsula, and we'd stop and we'd jump in the river, the stream. We knew where the hot pools were, they were free, we sort of knew the track to get there. Those opportunities aren't there anymore. And to cap that off too, I could go on and talk about health and education as well, but we've got into this habit of pulling up the ladder behind us and making sure it's even more difficult for the people coming through, or for those that need help later in life, those opportunities have gone. So this country is now in the midst of radical inequality, and that's got to stop.
How do you feel about leaving the council midterm and the causation of a by-election?
Yeah, I'm really saddened to leave. I have really enjoyed my just under 20 years worth of service to the people that I not only represented but worked for. And I worked for the former Auckland City and former Manukau City Councils as well. Local government is a special creature where it has its ups and downs, but certainly what I'll miss most is the fact you can get things done. You can tangibly make a difference in people's lives. You know, if a playground needed to be sorted, I knew the playground's person in the Parks Department and could get action. And so I'll miss that instantaneous ability to help people of all colour, ages and political beliefs, believe it or not. But I'll also miss the ability to take an idea, have it debated, and win some and lose some. I mean, that's what councils are. They don't have a cabinet-like structure like Parliament. So, yeah, and in terms of the by-election, look, when I ran, I got the word from the then-party leader in late January to say that he wasn't seeking the Rongotai seat, And so ideally, in an ideal world, I would have been able to make a choice. But I mentioned that politics and selection to get here is often about timing and good luck. And it was a case of timing and good luck for me. Bad luck, though, for the ratepayers, it would have to stump up for a by-election. That's happening now. I don't know how much that is. Hopefully it's not going to be too much. And hopefully people see value in getting someone back on the council quickly.
So I'm just going to move on to some conscience issues here. Do you support the decriminalisation and further legalisation of abortion?
Absolutely. I mean, in terms of that, for abortion, I talked to several young women in particular during the campaign, but also over the years, and I want to acknowledge all of the young women in Young Labour, for example, who have really educated me about this. But I also know others in my police role, where I dealt with people and the impacts, women with the impacts of treating abortion as something that was criminal. So, yep, fully supportive.
Cannabis decriminalisation and possible legalisation, is that something you would support?
I'd like to know more. I was aware of some of the issues when I was in police, and certainly I follow as much as I can through the work that the Drug Foundation does to educate myself and learn more. But I would need to learn more and get both sides of the story in front of me.
Okay. The retention of the Māori seats, is that something you're in favour of?
Absolutely.
The foreign deployment of New Zealand troops, do you support sending troops off to Afghanistan and Iraq?
It wouldn't come naturally to me. I'm much more keen to see our Defence Force personnel used in a peacekeeping manner, or dare I say it, as an internal civil defence force in terms of a priority. I don't have the knowledge and understanding that I'd like to understand what this means and impacts on our international relationships. But my first up feeling is that it wouldn't be something that came naturally to me.
What would you do with the current number of MPs? Currently we've got 120. Do you think we should raise it, lower it, or is it good how it is?
I certainly want to see how it works on the inside, but I'm happy with it.
Assisted dying, is that something you'd be willing to vote for?
So I'm certainly happy to support it going to the second reading. I have had lengthy conversations with Marion Street, for example, on one side. She's given me the data to say most New Zealanders support it. I think there's quite a lot of understanding. I think this is quite a scary space to have an opinion in if you do not understand the detail. On the other side, on where the Catholic Church is opposed to it. So I need to find out more. But look, certainly happy for it to be taken to the second reading so the pros and the cons are debated.
Do you think New Zealand should become a republic?
I would be happy to see it progress in that direction. I'd have to understand the impacts on the Treaty of Waitangi and the impacts on settlements and Māori, but yes.
If you had to be trapped on a desert island with an MP from an opposing party, who would you choose?
My chosen MP, but he's left now, would have been Pesitā Sam Lutuinga. He was Associate Health Minister and helped push through a smoke-free Wellington piece of work. And so being on an island without someone who smokes would be a great thing. I would be happily abandoned on an island with Christopher Finlayson. And I'll tell you why. He's Nationals candidate for Rongotai. He's got a wit like no other. He would certainly be someone not shy to tell me what he thought. And if it was just him and I, we'd have a lot of banter. And I hear he's a pretty good cook, so I'd go and find the fish and he could cook it.
Is there anything else you want to say to us? Is there anything that I haven't covered?
I know it's a huge privilege to be an MP, and many will tell you that. But for me personally, there's something a little bit extra special in the fact that the Labour Party turns 101 this year, and I am the first Māori male to gain a general seat. And that's a little bit special. I think it'd be easy to claim that, you know, the party should have done more, but I think that's something a bit extra. And what I'm most privileged at is that we've managed that smooth transition from one of New Zealand's best MPs ever, and that's at the Honourable Annette King. And so I've got big shoes to fill, but I wanted to show not only the people of Rongotai, but also Annette, that I had it and had what it took to be her successor. And I heard every single day that I had big shoes to fill. When the majority came through, that it was 10,900. And when the results came through on the party vote too, had been reversed from losing it by 850 something to gaining over 6,500. It gave me some vindication that the people had spoken.
All right, that's all we've got. This has been Paul Eagle. Thank you for joining us, Paul.
Kia ora, thank you.